Janice Caroline Proctor. After 57 years of marriage, 44 of which were lived suffering from three seriously debilitating illnesses, multiple sclerosis, trigeminal neuralgia, and breast cancer, Janice Caroline Proctor, who was born Janice Caroline Fuller, finally found peace and rest on January 28, 2017, when she was released from her earthly body and translated to her home in heaven. If Janice offered anything in her lifetime, it was encouragement. She encouraged everyone who knew her, including her most admiring husband. And if one of God's gifts is the gift of suffering, Janice had that gift. In all the years she slowly deteriorated in her health, you would never know by looking at her or listening to her. And that includes those private moments when few were around. Her daughter remembers her as a mom who was artistic. She used those skills to make birthdays and other holidays special for everyone around her. She had an infectious spirit that drew you into her mood of celebration. Even when she became too ill to take care of the details herself, she would still make sure holidays were celebrated and no one was forgotten. Mom celebrated life to the fullest and influenced those around her to do the same.
Well, good morning and welcome. It's really fun to be here. You say, what do you mean? There's no fun in this. Well, the word fun is in funeral, and it is fun. It's fun because we're celebrating here, aren't we? We're celebrating a life that was really well lived. I don't know all of you. If you don't know me, my name's Neil. I was the pastor for 10 years at New Heart Community Church, and I met Jim and Janice there. In fact, Eric and Arlene introduced me to them, and I was really drawn to them. Well, to one of them, but we won't say which one. But I really did fall in love with Jim and Janice several years ago. Spent a lot of time sitting at their home in their living room and debating with Jim over and over, and getting into arguments and all sorts of things. And it's good to be here. And it seems odd, doesn't it seem strange to say welcome? You sit there and you go, what do you mean, but welcome? You know, death is something that's never convenient. Do you ever notice that? It's never something that comes in time. You were probably not thinking about sitting where you are a week ago, but here we are. It comes. And yet, I think what we're going to see in the few minutes that we're here together is that in God's economy, Janice's death was right on time. And so I love to say welcome when I think about somebody whose life was the life that Janice lived. And I've been to hundreds probably of memorial services, and I always hear people when I listen and say the same thing. Everybody's greeting everybody and they say, oh, I haven't seen you for a long time. And boy, we need to get together. And what do you always say after that? But not at a memorial service or not at a funeral service. And I'm starting to change that tone. I'm starting to actually believe that memorials are like God's family reunion, because they bring everybody together. At a normal family reunion, you come and you bring your food and you bring your drama with you and all the family drama. But at a memorial, you lay that aside. You're not thinking about that. You're thinking about Jim and this wonderful family and comforting them. You're not thinking about your 401k or your bills that you have to pay. Everyone is here focused on comfort. And for a moment, some of you are focused on something that probably is the most important thing, and that is that one day, and as you look up at this picture behind me, you're probably thinking of the elephant in the room, is that one day, that's going to be your picture. That's going to be my picture. And not only wondering, what will people say about me? Will it be things that are nice? But some of you here are probably wondering, where is Janice right now? Where, if that's my picture, then what happens to me, as many of us are celebrating, because we know. And in our few minutes that we share together today, I think you're going to see that there's an incredible and wonderful hope. So we're going to do two things. We're going to celebrate Janice's life. We're going to remember her. Some of you are going to get a chance to say some things about Janice. We want to do that and the legacy that she leaves behind. And then we want to do probably the most important thing, is to celebrate her faith. Her faith that she put alone in Christ alone. And that's what she definitely wanted, knowing that her homegoing was soon, wanted us to make sure we understood that. We're going to sing together. We're going to read from God's Word. We're going to hear again from some of you and definitely celebrate this life. And so let me pray for us. And then I'm going to invite Dan to lead us in our first song. Let me pray. Father, we come before you this morning on a day that you planned before the foundations of time, that we would mark a moment for a life that was not only well lived, but as a life that reflected a deep and abiding faith. And Father, I pray for our few minutes that we share together that you would do a work that only your Holy Spirit could do, and that would be to open up the hearts of each person seated in this place, that we would have ears to hear, that we would have eyes to see, and hearts that would listen, and your Spirit would move as we consider and we celebrate Janice's life. Be in this place, we ask. Move in this place. And be glorified in this place. We ask it in your Son's name. Amen.
Please join me.
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us who wait before Thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of comfort sweet, near to the heart of God. A place where we Savior meet, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. O us who wait before Thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of full release, near to the heart of God. A place where all is joy and peace, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us who wait before Thee, near to the heart of God. Hold us who wait before Thee, near to the heart of God.
I think that's a real powerful hymn, one of Janice's favorites. That's why we sung it. And I think there's a word that was repeated over and over in there. It's the word near. And I think that's what you're going to see today, is that Janice was near to God. All that spent time with her would walk away, boy, there's somebody that's near to the heart of God. I want to read some scripture, and then I want to invite Jim to come up. I also think it's amazing when the spouse of someone who's lost a spouse can come and share. But I think it's meaningful to us as we grieve with you, Jim, and your family. And we thank you for coming. I'm going to read a passage of Scripture that Janice wanted to have shared. And Jim will read another and then share a little bit about his journey. This is from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 to 58, a familiar passage. Janice loved this. It says, "Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable." The Apostle Paul was writing this, and he goes on, he says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery, a mystery. We will not all sleep." See, we will all be changed, is what Paul says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when the perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, and it was a saying back then, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? See, Paul said the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. And then he says, but thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Jim, would you come and share with us?
I didn't prepare any notes, but one of the things Janice wanted read, she told me this 15 years ago. When she died, she wanted this passage of scripture read at her services, and so I want to read that to you. So I'm going to read three verses. She only wanted the middle verse, but I think the first, the one before and the one after fit just as well. So let me read those for you. It says, this is Paul, and he's coming to the end of his journey as well. And he said, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And then she wanted this also, which she said, not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Keep that in mind for yourself. People that know us and seen us around know that I think quite a bit of Janice. And she's not here. One of the things that happened is as she wound down in her life, she got very, very awful in her countenance. She was breathing and hard and long and not sleeping. And it was so awful to watch that, to the point that when she stopped breathing, I enjoyed what I saw. She finally was at rest. She was at rest for the first time in 15 years, probably. And so I just sat there for an hour with her until they came to take her away. And I just enjoyed the moment. And I just want to, I'm not going to belabor this too much, but I just want you all to know that what I put in that obituary was meaningful to me about my wife. I've been around the world in the military. I've been a pastor for 30 years. I have never met anybody that I appreciate more than her, never. And as I came to see her for what she really is, she became my teacher. So from now on, if we're trying to convert ourselves from us to Jesus, she had that going for her whole life, starting at 18. I don't know if I should share this part, but when we were married, she was 18 and I was a little older. I won't say how much older. She had come out of a family that was very, very troubled. And she, as an 18-year-old girl that didn't know what to do with marriage, she made up her mind that she just didn't want it to look like that. And so we were married for 57 years, and she never engaged in an argument. You know, when the fight starts, it's when someone hits back. And I hit, but she never hit back, ever, not ever. And so I finally got it from her. And so if I get a chance to live a little longer, I'm going to make sure I try to live the way she lived.
To let me shine. so long. The beautiful smile to hide the pain. Did you ever know that you're my hero? And everything I would like to be. I can fly.
When Jim asked me to come up and share together in this service, he said, "I want that song." And I'm like, "No, I can't sing that song very well." He says, "No, I want the song." And I said, "Oh, it's kind of a Bette Midler, really? Beaches? Really? It's a little cheesy, a little bit." And he says, "No, I want the song because those lyrics are truly about Janice." And then I read the lyrics. Had you listened to them? And I thought, this is so powerful. It fit your relationship better than beaches in that, as if God sort of foreknew that on this day we'd be here. And just what a powerful thing. And Jim, those of you who know Jim, really felt like, you know, she was there in his shadow all the time, never having sunlight on her face, content. I don't know if there's a day that I ever saw her. Well, I'll tell you about one day, that's it. But she was content, always walking a step behind. And you were the one with all the, every single word of this song, Jim, is exactly the journey and the dance that you guys danced together. Very, very, very powerful. And so look it up online and as well. We want to give you a moment as friends and family and loved ones to share. I won't make you come up here. In fact, that's why we have this. I'll come down there to take a moment just to, undoubtedly, as Jim shared, as scripture happened, as you've been reflecting on your journey with Janice, we thought, Jim thought it would be meaningful, because he's seen this happen where people can share. And so we wanted to open it up for a little bit. And as a pastor who likes to be in control, I said, I don't want to do that either. I said, we want to hear ourselves. And he says, no, this is really meaningful to me. And so we want to give you an opportunity to do that. I'm going to give you a couple of guidelines. One, keep it to about a minute. And just share, is there something that Janice said or an experience you had? I think that'd be meaningful to Shelley and Jim and the boys and the daughter and just your family here. And then if we don't get to you, it's okay. Because here's one thing I want you to do is if we don't get a chance for you to hold on to this microphone and share your story, I've got a better idea. How about a month from now when all of this is gone and Jim's there alone? And wouldn't it be an amazing thing to get a phone call from you to say, let's have coffee. And you share a story about Janice. And so if you don't get a chance to do that, please take the time to call them. And so I primed the pump, and so I'm going to start with a Sandage over here. And I told them this, but we'll start with Sandage, and then we'll go from there.
Does it work? I guess it does. A Janice story, right? 2013, I knocked on Proctor's door. Jim answered the door, as normal. And I said, I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk to Janice. And so I went inside and sat down with Janice and explained to her my predicament. I told her that I was in a job that required a lot of commuting, and it was killing me, and I was afraid I was missing my children's lives. She asked one question. How much are they paying you? And I told her. And it was a significant sum. And without hesitation, she looked me in the eye and said, it ain't worth it. My Janice story.
I would have said, take the job, but Janice says it like it is. I also asked Mark, as a physician that tended to Janice, and Jim shared so intimately about your relationship to her, that you're not just a doctor, you're a real person, and you were impacted by Janice's life. Would you tell us about that, Mark?
Sure. I can testify that Janice did suffer tremendously in her final years, uncomplainingly. And she still had that sense of humor that was her trademark. And I am sure without a doubt that she is at rest in peace with the Lord now in a glorious body.
That's powerful. How you just touched every life. She really did. How about someone else? Anybody else want to just raise your hand and I'll come to where you are? And anybody, you know, wander. Don't make me walk so far. And somebody back here will grab the mic.
I really don't like speaking in front of people, but I have to share this. Jim's already heard it. It happened about 30 years ago. I ran out of gas on the 101 almost to Trinidad about a mile before and knew I needed to walk with the four little children from preschool. And Jim and Janice pulled over, and I didn't know them. And, I was petrified to get in the car that I didn't know the people, but especially Jim. I was really nervous about him. And then I saw the wheelchair, and I thought, oh, one of them's in a wheelchair. That's good. I would only have to fight off one of them. And then I saw the Bible, and I thought, oh, wow, they're believers. Okay, I've got two things going. I've got these four little children on the freeway. So I said, well, what about, how are we going to get the stroller in there? Because I had taken a stroller out, put the two littlest ones in there, and then had the other ones hold on by the bank. And just praying that I would get home with all of us alive. And Jim got the stroller in the back, and we all four crammed in the little car. And Janice kind of gave me that look like, it's going to be okay. And then we see him at Naveen's a lot and have visits. Well, I with Janice and Ray with Jim, and it was always just, I left just feeling so blessed by her. I think I've gone over.
You took your 1 minute over. Yeah, Naveen's was going to close several years ago, but Jim and Janice single-handedly have kept them open for business. How about somebody else? Anybody else that want to share a little story? Yeah, Myrna.
I don't actually know where to start because I have so many wonderful memories of Janice. She was truly my hero as well. I knew her for about only 4 years, but in those 4 years, she just greatly, beyond measure, impacted my life and spoke to my heart as well as Jim. I spent many hours in their home. I contacted Jim about maybe coming over and giving him a hand from time to time, and I was the one that was helped most. If you know them and spent time with them, you know what I mean. But I have memories of Janice. She loved to talk about her family and stories from childhood. And she was very adventuresome. I discovered that early on, riding a skateboard as a child in athletics and swimming. And she just was exuberant and loved life. And another thing that I realized quickly is what a lady she was, even though with her handicap and not being able to do much anything for herself, but she cared about feminine things and never lost that. So she was just a great inspiration to me. And living in Japan, Jim being overseas and taking young children to Japan, and her stories were just full of excitement and homemaking and sewing, and she was such a gifted lady, and I just so admire her so much in her testimony. And I found myself thinking this week, I can't imagine not saying Jim and Janice. It was always Jim and Janice this, and Jim and Janice that. And I can't imagine it just Jim now. And I might say Jim and Janice for a while, but I found myself thinking, it occurred to me that, lastly, that Jim and Janice go together like peanut butter and jelly. And that Jim was the sweet, it occurred to me. No, the other way around. Sorry, did I say Jim? Janice was definitely the sweet. And so then I'm like, well, does that make Jim the... No, not the peanut. No, just the nut. So... And Janice will be tremendously missed, and I'm just thankful to God that they impacted my life and that she was part of my life and that I knew her, because I'm just a wonderful being and testimony, truly my hero as well.
Yeah, I thought your name was Jim and for a long time. In fact, the email says Jim Jan, so that's probably not going to change at all. Yeah, thank you, Myrna. Anybody else? I'm going to split the defense here.
Well, let's see. Janice and I talked a lot about Jim and the little tricks that she used to pull on him as they were married. But the most important thing I could say about Janice was, number one, she was always positive. And number two, I always told her, keep smiling. She goes, I will if you do.
I just want to say that I knew Janice best when I worked at Adult Day Health for a couple of years. And Janice thought of her husband all the time. And he was just, and laughing, and she would laugh, and she'd say, Jim would like this tattoo, you know. It was so cute, you know. She was just a joy, and I loved her, and I respected her, and she'll always be in my mind as a person that I would like to be in and be.
That's probably triggering stories, and see, now it happens. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, that reminds me, that one time at Naveen's. I put an order in for you. I'll be here in 10 minutes. Yeah, they're coming in. So. Walk over here to the high knees here.
Thank you. I have just a short story about chocolate. Janice loved chocolate, for those that aren't aware of that, for her. More than just one or two occasions, I would, at one time in particular, I had 3 bars of chocolate. One was white chocolate, one was dark chocolate, and then another type of chocolate. I put all 3 of them on the table. I said, you can choose one, but only one. And, you know, she thought about it for a second, And she wanted all of them. And I said, no, you have to, you can only choose one. I'm going to take the other two, but I'm not going to give anything to Jim. I'll give the rest to Shelley. I don't know whether Shelley was a recipient of any of those pieces of chocolate, but jump into the chaser a little bit. I said, okay, choose your pick because I need to go. And she looks at me, and she's got this little left eye look. She doesn't look at you. She just kind of raises her eyebrow a little bit, kind of like the stink eye effect. And she had the use of one arm, I believe her left arm, and she goes just like this across the dining room table and takes all three. And so, yeah, I love Janice, and so does Jerry, and we miss her. Thank you.
That's a good one. Yeah. How about one or two more, and then we'll move on as I fly over here.
Thanks, Jim, for that song. It made me cry. It's beautiful, though. I cleaned house for Jim and Janice for many years. And one of the things she would have me, you know, she'd pick out, like, the sheets for the bed and tell me which ones she wanted. And then I'd make the bed and the towels and all that. And so every once in a while, we kind of joke with one another that she was always telling me what to do, and I was always pushing her around.
That's enough said. Wow, that's telling me to do all is pushing her around. Anyone else before we sing again? Hopefully you remember the stories that you've had, and that's just rich. And her fingerprints, I know, are all over all of you, and you're thinking of stories. It makes us smile, and it really does, and that's what Janice did so well. Why don't we sing another song, and then we'll continue.
Lately, I've been meditating on the idea of how would my life be different, or how would I be different if I truly believed what it meant to be beloved of the Heavenly Father. And I've been thinking about that and meditating about it and processing that, like, how would I see things differently if I really believed that God loved me? And a few weeks ago, I was thinking about that as I drove, and I happened to see Jim's car, which is recognizable. And I didn't know Janice well, but based on the stories that Jim has told, I think she knew what it meant. Made me think about it more.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks and the sound of his voice is so hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me, my heart is stirring, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. The joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go. Through the voice of home, his voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Again, what a great hymn, talking with God, walking with God. And I think of Janice, she spent time alone and probably was in a position to hear God better than many of us. She couldn't get up and click on the TV and or walk somewhere and be distracted by anything. When she was there and when she was alone, she was still. And I think there was something about that time that Janice spent near to him and abiding in him that was the thing, and I would argue is the thing that drew all of you to her. That her relationship that she had that was so near and dear to Christ was put on display when she related to you. And we tend to be people that run around and we're busy. And I think she'd be super thrilled that she is the center of attention here today. And she's gotten all of you to stop what you're doing and to listen and to think. Again, I mentioned I met Jim and Janice a number of years ago. And I was just amazed at the way you guys related to each other. And Jim told me that he was a pastor, and I thought, well, that was great. I'm always looking for people who've done pastoring before me so I can learn. And so I quickly spend time with Jim. And then I had this great idea. I said, why don't I come over and just spend an hour a week? I didn't have a lot of time, just to maybe give you a break. And you knew your life was defined, as you said, for so many years by just loving and caring for your hero. But I'll give you a break. I want to experience this, and I'll tell you, as most of you have said, my hour with Janice was just so precious. And I think Jim would told me the same thing he told many of you. When you spend time with her, just do whatever she asks you to do. I want her to feel like she's cleaning or she's doing. And so she would ask me to do things. She would ask me to open the blinds because Jim always wanted them closed. And you know, he'd come home and wonder, who opened these blinds? One time, Jim and I were chatting, and Jim forgot to leave. And we just started talking, and, well, arguing probably is what you better. We started debating. We started having a robust spiritual conversation. And I was right, and Jim was, I was trying to help him to see what God was trying to say to him. No, Jim's a very wise man, and we started realizing that, we didn't realize it. We were actually honing in on the time that she would have. And this went on for a few weeks, and one day we're in one of our hearty debates, and she's just so humble. She just stays there. I think she kind of enjoyed it a little bit, but we escalated our conversation. Do you remember what it was about? No, neither do I. So it's never important, is it? We started escalating our conversation, and I just remember Janice all of a sudden, just first time, the only time I ever heard her yell. She just said, "Stop!" And we just sort of looked at each other like kids on the playground, stunned. And that was a moment we remembered, and she was just so wise that way. Just some wonderful, wonderful times. I think I convinced you one time that let's take her to Weaverville for our guys thing out. And I said, I want to learn how you get her in and out of the car. And I wish I had time to go into the story. And I did do that, and I think you appreciated it, except it was so comical. I've never seen her laugh so hard as I'm trying to do the things you did and, you know, banging her head up against a thing and, but we did it, and we went on a date to Weaverville, and it was beautiful. It was really a beautiful experience, and enjoyed her. One time she decided, she said, let's bake. So I'm saying, okay, we'll bake. That's what Jim said. Whatever she says, let's do that. And I don't know how to bake. But Safeway knows how to tell you how to bake. You go and you get the little sleeve of the cookies. I just cut these things up, throw them on the thing, and cook it up. She'll think we're baking. We didn't bake that day, but the next day I came with the goods and I was going to help her bake. We were going to bake that day. And this is how loving Jim is to his wife. He found out she wanted to bake, didn't have the heart to tell her their stove didn't work. That's why they went to Naveen's all the time. And literally this is what Jim did. I don't know if people know this story. I came that day with these cookies, and there in the stove was in the kitchen was a brand new stove. He'd gone out and purchased a brand new stove, his love for his hero. Just to cook some dumb cookies you know, but we ended up doing that a lot, and they were good, and we enjoyed eating them a lot as well. And so I think we all have stories about Janice that are just going to linger. Somebody shared them today, and like I said, I want to encourage you to share these stories, maybe even write them down. Pop, put a little note in the mail, because in a month, you know, when you hear that song, Now Forever, it's going to do the same thing it did to you. When you smell something, when you walk into Naveen's, whatever your experience might have been with Janice, but for Jim and Shelley and Jim and your family, it's going to be a memory. And to have something that would just share your memory would just be rich. And I've been thinking a lot about Janice in the last few weeks, and I thought, what was it about Janice that drew you in? What was it about Janice that made us want to spend time with her? Because like I said, she couldn't get up off the couch and go work out at the club with you. She really on her own couldn't go and go to the Bible study with you. Janice, she wasn't rich. She wasn't famous, at least in a worldly sense. She wasn't a CEO of a company that we'd all want to maybe think she could further our careers by spending time with her. Now, what drew us to her? She was Jim's hero. You said that a lot. And the song articulated that. Why? Why was she Jim's hero? And I want to spend a few minutes just looking at the passages that we read here together to talk a little bit about Janice. She certainly couldn't serve any of us in any conventional way. In fact, she was perpetually in need physically for the most better part of 50 years. And could it be that we could learn from Janice's life, the purpose that she had in her life? And we've said it already, she had this incredible identity, and as the songs that we just sang, in belonging and being near to Christ. And I would argue with you that that is the thing that is drawing you, that you're actually seeing Christ in her. A few weeks ago I heard it's an old story about a couple of people that were attending a church in England back in the times of Charles Spurgeon, if you remember that great preacher. And they went to two churches on a night. They went to hear one famous preacher that the guy who told me the story never said. And they heard this amazing preacher. And they came out after the service and they said, "We just saw an amazing preacher." And then later they went to hear Charles Spurgeon preach. And when they came out of the service, they said, "We just saw Christ." You see the difference? And I know that you're thinking right now is that with Janice, when you would walk out of there, and Mark, I know this is what you were thinking, we saw Christ. We didn't see Janice. And it reminded me of a story that I've been reading lately in the book of Ecclesiastes. Let me read that book. It's really a cynical book. That's why I'm drawn to it, right? It's nothing new under the sun. Vanity of vanities, you know. Been there, done that, got the t-shirts, what Solomon is essentially saying. And Solomon comes to this incredible, goes on this incredible journey in the book of Ecclesiastes, and at the end of it, what happens is he walks into this beautiful relationship to God. And I'm not a big Greek guy, but there's a really cool word I learned to describe our relationship with God when we get it. It's called perichoresis. We get the word choreography from. It means dance. And Solomon learned this incredible dance, one that's being fully realized and enjoyed by Janice as we all sit here. But what struck me about Solomon's stories is it took him a long time to figure it out. Right? Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. God gave him incredible wisdom. Renowned. Outside of scripture, historians remember this king that people would come. Queen of Sheba would come. People would come from all over. And God added to this wisdom all the wealth he could have. And even historians would tell us that the gold that he had amassed at one point was over $48 trillion in today's dollars. I mean, the guy was just had everything he wanted. And he said, I never withhold anything from what I desired. I want women, I'd have women. I want gardens, I'll build great gardens. And what happened to Solomon is it took him a long time to figure it out. And I contrasted that with Janice, and I thought, she didn't have any time. No wealth. No, she had wisdom. But nothing. And from the very beginning, she was in a position of emptiness. Solomon's life journey emptied him out all of the things he was trying to find joy and value and worth in this life. But for Janice, she had no time. Emptiness was swift, but her choice that took 12 chapters for Solomon over many years, her choice was to see. You see, a good inductive Bible study student would say when Solomon said that everything under the sun was vanity of vanities, we would ask the question, there must be life above the sun. And Janice articulated that in the way that she lived, that she was living her life above the sun. And what Solomon concluded and Janice demonstrated was something we all need to learn from her life, and that is this. That this life that we're living right now was never designed to give us what we think we want. It was never designed to actually take away the thirst that keeps driving us forward in our jobs, in our business, in our relationships, in our desire to grow status. But it was designed to awaken us and to stir within us. And God seems to do that through disappointment. For Janice, it was swift. She didn't have the ability. She had to see. She had to choose. For Solomon, many of our stories are similar to that. We can make this life work for a while. Some of you are here. You've come from work. You've got things going pretty well. And the scary thing is, we can make that work. We can find value in this life. We can find identity in this life. And the Bible tells us, and we don't have time to go into all the details, that God has rigged the world for that not to work. And that's a good thing. And the sooner that we can feel the sting that we read in the Corinthians passage of life coming from sin, the sooner we're awakened to a life that God planned for all of us above this one, a life beyond. See, Janice's life purpose, I believe, was to be a daily picture of a hope not fully realized under the sun every day. And because of that, her joy, which was so evident, was put in a future hope. And the joy and the confidence that she had in the future hope gave her life meaning and purpose every day. And that is what drew her to her. Jim read that beautiful passage in 2 Timothy, and you had a hard time getting it out. I was moved by that because you saw her life being poured out every day. And he realized that that day on January the 18th, that her life, that would be the day that God would call her home. Her departure had come, that she had fought this incredible fight. She finished the race, and Jim would agree that she definitely kept the faith. Laid up for her crown of righteousness, probably a lot of crowns for Janice, which the Lord will reward her on that day. And for Janice, that day was January 28th. That God called her home. And she made it to the finish line. The finish line of this life, which was the beginning of the real life that God always had planned for us. Laid up for me. Laid up for me. God's been waiting for Janice. He's rewarded her with the full realization of His physical presence, which she probably would enjoy more than we think. Oh, she's probably walking. She probably is. But it's His presence that she's enjoying to the fullest. The passage in Corinthians that we read reminded us that flesh and blood don't inherit that kingdom. It's a mystery, Paul called it. There's a sting of death that sin reminds us. But thanks be to God. And this and several other passages say so much about life, about death, and about hope. I think about life, as I mentioned. This life was never meant to deliver. We live in a fallen world forever. And so whenever we come to a memorial service, I'm always wondering, why are we working so hard to stay here as long as we possibly can? I think Janice is glad she's gone through this and she's with the Lord. Why is it we think that we see death as God's cruel punishment? You see, God's design was for life, the way we live it here, to never be forever. Once we fell into sin and in a fallen world, I mean, look around you, right? You see sin probably sitting right next to you, right? In the way that we're deteriorating, right? We see disease. We see a fractured country in many ways. We see an economy that looks bleak in many ways. And that's a good, wealthy country. And why would we want to stay here? And then we look at our bodies that are getting more and more decrepit. And why would we want to fight that? And so I would argue that what this passage says about death is that in God's economy, death is actually an upgrade. And it's God's grace for us in death. And it's why Paul could say with the church at Thessalonica that when we grieve as followers of Christ, we don't have to grieve without any hope. We grieve with an incredible hope that gives our life, as it did for Janice, meaning here under the sun. Sin leads to death. And from the vantage point of people who don't know Christ, that appears to be the end. But Paul says, thanks be to God. There is a great victory, and it's the victory that gives us hope. Victory over this life. God and a relationship to Him is the only thing that gives your life meaning and purpose. And that's why when we look at Janice through earthly eyes and we feel sadness, maybe many people felt sorry for them. I think there are many times you get to restaurants and people feel sorry. I don't think Janice felt sorry one day, because it was her love for, her faith in, her nearness to, that gave her life meaning under the sun, that drew all of you to her, that would cause us to pause and to think, what gives my life meaning now? And it's our focus on the eternal plan God has for us that gives your individual lives meaning, so that when we stand here, we celebrate not just a good guy or a good girl, but we celebrate a life that pointed us to an eternity of incredible meaning. What about you? What is the gospel that Janice lived out? I four words, and many of you know this already. God, sin, Jesus, and you. Four words that help us articulate what the gospel is. And if you've never come to a place where you've made that decision, I know Janice would want you to. It begins with God, right? There's a God, and here's the newsflash. It's not you. There's a God, and it's not you. And that's good news. That's the gospel. It's not you. And when you try to play God, that's what leads to what the Bible describes as sin. And sin is not even a spiritual word. It's actually a sporting term. It's an archer's term. If you're into archery, it just means missing the bullseye. Sin, you sin. You miss the mark. That's what sin means. And when you try to play God and be God, that leads to all kinds of sin. Missing the mark, that leads to heartache and you trying to take shortcuts and lying and stealing and cheating or whatever you might need to do to make life under the sun work. And God's going to keep bringing you over and over to the end of yourself so that you would begin to focus on Him. Jesus. That's the third word. God sent Jesus. See, God said, you're not getting it. I'm going to send myself, God incarnate in the flesh, to come and describe for you life above the sun. Not a lot of people believed Him because we're so enamored with what's going on here. But He did nonetheless describe a world, a family that we could be a part of that would free us from the chains of this earthly tents and would be our hope. And the consequence of the sin playing God in your life is just that. It's a simple. It's not a punishment from a God who wants to smite you. It's just your decision to walk away from the freedom that God says is here. Eternity apart from God. Sin. Apart. But it's Christ who reconciles, and Christ paid the price that you and I would be paying as we play God. He said, I'll put my life down. And so He came and He talked to us about a place beyond this one, invited us to follow, invited Him into the family, and then He laid His own life down. And then the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, keeps coming back to you. God, sin, Jesus, and you. What are you going to do about that? We know what Janice did about that. She lived a life of incredible purpose, and we know why now. And she, if she were standing here, would tell you that you can live that same life. To be a life that people go to and go, what is it about Jim? What is it about Dottie? What is it about John or Jerry that's different? And they're not drawn to you. I spent 30 plus years being a people pleaser, trying to get people to like me. And I'm just starting to figure out that now I hope when people are drawn to you and they're drawn to me that they walk away and say, I saw Christ. That's what Janice's legacy is. For her to be here and not here, and for us to say a bunch of nice things would be a waste of our time together. The purpose of Janice's life was to be a light, to point people to God, to have a hope that would change you forever, to give your life's purpose and this meaning to pass it on to the next one. That's the gospel. Isn't that beautiful? And it's a beautiful hope. And it's a legacy that Janice leaves with us today. And so we're going to spend a little bit more time together. We're going to invite you in a moment. I'm going to pray to join us as we commit Janice's earthly tent, her body, into the ground. And we commit her over here at the cemetery. We're actually going to walk over there together in just a few moments. And then we're going to invite you back here for a light reception right back in here, if you'd like to join us and spend some time with us. together. If you want to drive over there, you can actually go down here, out the street to J Street. Am I getting that right? J Street will dead end, and there'll be signs that will help you find your way to where we'll be at the graveside. And we'll take a few minutes, probably 10 or 15 minutes, to allow us to get there. And then we'll spend a little time there, just being still and listening to God and His Spirit and His Word. So I want to pray for us right now. Jim, how are you doing? Anything else you want to say?
Yeah, I want to say to Mrs. Minka that she invited us to church when she got in our car because she saw the Bible. She didn't know I was a pastor, but she wanted to project her faith on us.
Yeah, she invited you to church when she saw the Bible in your car. Yeah, beautiful thing. Yeah, awesome stuff. Well, let's pray and pray for this dear family. Father, we come before you and we don't, as Paul said, we don't wax eloquent with words. We might try to at times, but the best we can say just falls and fails in comparison to what you try to say to us, especially what you said to us in this life of this beautiful woman, this hero, this wind beneath our wings, fueled by the Spirit in her that gives our life meaning and purpose. So, Father, if we spent the better part of this last hour together just laughing and grieving a little bit and mourning, I pray that we did the thing that was the purpose of her life and that we glorified you in our time together as her life glorified you. And, Father, I pray that if there's anyone here that is just stuck, even followers of Christ, Christian people that are stuck with their life too focused on a life under the sun, trying to organize it in such a way to get your blessings flowing, to help them to realize that there's so much more. And then, Father, as I know Janice would want and this dear family would desire, if there's anyone here that has never made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, that they would never leave here today without hearing that message, and that we trust the work of your Spirit would open up a heart to receive and be reconciled to you in such a saving and powerful way. So, Father, bless us now as we travel across this road to lay this dear one to rest. And again, may you be honored. We pray it in your Son's name. Amen. Amen. Lindsay.